Assurance in your life that it is well. It is well with my soul. To have the kind of relationship with the Lord and the life in the Lord that enables you to say that without reservation. It is well with my soul. Oh, yes, I'm striving, I'm challenged by still being in the flesh and all the desires and the wants and all the junk that my flesh will try to go after. And at times my flesh is warring with my spirit, wanting possession of my life. And yet I'm pleased this morning to proclaim to you, it is well. It is well with my soul. Because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus died upon the cross for my sins. I believe that he heard my confession of those sins. I believe that he has taken hold of the possession of my faith in him. It is well. It is well with my soul. Hallelujah! We've been talking throughout this month, and we're going to live it throughout this year, of being a miracle. You see, it's so easy for us as believers to want to see a miracle. God, do a miracle in somebody's life. The Holy Spirit is calling us this year to be a miracle. For you and I to be like David of old, who was not afraid, who was not drawing back from being what God had enabled him to be when he went and stood toe-to-toe with a giant. We as believers need to take a step forward and slay some giants in people's lives. Or to be like Moses, that reluctant servant who could not get past the what if. What if, what if, what if, what if, but what if this happens? And God says, I am sufficient. Let me be who I am in your life. Moses said, what if they don't believe me? God says, what's in your hand? Everything that I've made you, everything that I've enabled you to do, everything that I've brought you through is for this moment so that you could be a miracle in some people's lives. God wants us to step into that. He wants you to be a David. He wants you to be a Moses this year. You say, well, you know, you mean I'm supposed to go lead Israel out of bondage? No, you may be going to lead your relative or your next door neighbor or the person that you work with. You may be going to step into their life and lead them out of bondage. You say, well, how do I do that? You'll do that in the same way Moses did. You'll do it with the stuff that's in your hand, everything that God has put in you up to this point in time. You'll do that by letting him be God, the God of the miraculous, in and through you. And one day you'll stand and you go, oh my goodness, God made me the miracle. Miracle for their life. Hallelujah. Or maybe you'll be Peter and you'll stand face to face with someone who thinks that they have one need in their life, but you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can see they have a deeper need. And you'll proclaim as he did, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, may your life be changed. I believe God wants that to happen. You know, we put a tangible spin on this last Sunday just so that we could fully understand of how we could be a miracle. And if we had time today, we could have some folks stand up and they would testify about how God put food on their table using you. It was a miracle of provision that God made this past week. Hallelujah. And what's interesting to me, and I'm very thankful that many of you were pleased. Oh, Pastor, that was the best service. I love it when the church does that. Fantastic. Now let's do it continually. If you have a need in your life, you let the church know. If you have some resources, limited as they may be, but you are willing to release those resources into somebody else's life, you let us know. And we'll put the two things together, the need and the provider. There should never be a week, there should never be a day where anybody that's part of this church family goes hungry. You hear me? Never. There should never be a day that a family in this congregation goes hungry as long as any of the rest of us have provisions. May God help us to stand up. But folks, it goes beyond this. You say you're a believer. You say that you have Jesus inside of you. Such as you have, give it away. Got quiet in here now, didn't it? It might be easier for us to dig into our pocketbooks and pull out a dime or two, or a dollar or two, or a hundred or two. It may be easier for us to do that than for us to give away our faith. This morning I want to talk to you about the greatest opportunity that you have of being a miracle. That is to be a person of faith. Amen. If I have to preach it and amen it, you're gonna be here a long time. I'm taking my coat off because this is gonna be work. I can tell. I have 15 minutes and a 3-hour sermon, so here we go. Nothing's impossible with the Lord. There was an article in the local newspaper here back in November by Terry Mattingly, a syndicated columnist. He said, long ago back in Sunday school in Nebraska, something happened that changed how television talk legend Dick Cavett would think about faith forever. When he was a boy, his mother got breast cancer. Then a seemingly helpful old lady said, Dickie, if you will pray, your mother will get well. And he said with a long pause, she didn't. She didn't. And this antidote, it's right in the fold of the paper, excuse me. Seemed easier than what it was. This antidote was highly relevant during a recent New York City forum because Cavett was interviewing author Eric Metaxas about his new book, Miracles, What They Are and Why They Happen and How They Can Change Your Life. In other words, young Cavett prayed for a miracle, it didn't happen, and that certainly did shape his life. You see, we have boiled miracles down to getting our bodies fixed. Now, I can tell you this morning that God is concerned about the physical needs that we have in our bodies. But He sent Jesus to save our souls. Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed because people had immediate physical needs, and those lifted people's faith. He even said that those things revealed that He was the Son of God. When John the Baptist asked, is He the one that God has sent? He sent him back. He said, go tell him. The blind receive their sight, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and the dead are raised. Those miracles were proof and signs that He was who He said He was. And He even says that it's true today. These signs shall follow them that believe. And He gives the list of all the things that will follow. But the reality is that is not faith. The results of faith are not faith. Faith is more than the results. To be a person of faith in this day is a miracle in itself. Jesus, speaking to His disciples as they were leaving the temple one day, He told them of the destruction of the temple that would soon come. They ask Him, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Listen to His words. Jesus makes this statement. Matthew 24:10. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray each other and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and hate each other. He goes on in another passage in Luke's gospel, the 18th chapter. He's talking about a woman who was persistent in prayer. But when he comes to the end of that discourse, he makes this statement. He says, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Do you realize that the greatest rarity that may exist in the coming of the Lord Jesus will be people, men and women of faith, who will believe beyond what they can see? My Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must believe that He exists and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You will not find in this Bible that every time you pray for somebody to be healed, that they will be healed. It does say that He heals as a result of our prayers. But it does not say that every time you pray that they will be healed. Many people hinge their faith, even as young Dick Cavett, hinge their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ as to whether or not He has reacted to one of their prayers for physical healing.
Faith is bigger than that. It has to be more powerful than that. If not another single body is healed in our world, faith can still exist. I believe in God. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice upon a cross for my sins. I believe. Will the Son of Man find faith on the earth when He comes? That was His question. Because it will be a rarity. I want to take you very quickly this morning, just in these next few moments that I have, and I'm really going to try to have you out of here on time, but I want to talk to you about Abraham. Why? Because Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, it says in the book of Romans. Righteousness, rightness before God. He was what he needed to be because he believed. Hebrews 11:6, as I shared with you, without faith it is impossible to please God, because you must believe that He exists and that He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You cannot get to God by knowledge. You cannot get to God by examples. You cannot get to God by chasing after the things that you and I may want. We cannot get to God in that way. We have to believe that He exists and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. We spent a great deal of time in the early service over the last few months talking about hope. Hope in this world is expectation based on desire. In other words, I'm hoping, I'm wanting what I want. I'm expecting that it's going to come because I want it. Too many people throw that hope into their faith mixture. I want this to occur, so therefore I'm going to believe that it's going to occur. And I'm going to hope that it's going to occur because I believe that it is going to occur. And it's simply, God, you move based upon my desire. Whereas faith in the Word of God and hope in the Word of God is anticipation based in Christ. I know whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. In other words, I have a need in my life, I bring it and I place it at the feet of Jesus, and I entrust it to Him. Whether it comes out the way I want it to come out or not is not the factor. Because I believe in Jesus. He said, yeah, but he wants to give me the desires of my heart. How many times can we lean on that? He does want to give us the desires of our heart, but He won't always give you the desire of your heart. Because sometimes your desires, according to James, are amiss. They're selfish. You may want something for your loved one that is different than what God wants for that loved one. If you believe in God and you will place your belief in Him and let Him be God and let Him be the decision maker, you know, we kind of lie in this. How many of you ever say the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Greater is your name than my name. May your kingdom come, thy will be done, as long as it is my will too. Come on. We might as well put it in there. We might as well throw it in. Thy will be done, as long as it's what I like and expect. Because God, if you don't do it the way that I want, the way I'm expecting it, I'm sorry, God, that I just won't believe in you anymore. Hear me this morning, God is bigger than the sum total of the things that He does for you that you want Him to do. And until your God, until your relationship with Jesus Christ exceeds what you can ask Him for, you won't really know the walk of faith that God has for you. It is a walk of faith that when he comes, he will find faith in our lives because we will believe beyond the circumstances, beyond the situation that we're in currently. You know, I've watched this for a lifetime of ministry as people ride the roller coaster of faith. Oh, when everything's going great in their life and they're in a good service, man, they're people of faith. Woo-hoo-hoo! It is well with my soul. Man, they can sing it. But when problems come, difficulties come, a glitch in their flesh, guess what? Your body and my bodies, they're not eternal. They're part of the dust of this world, and they are going to break down. Yours may be different than mine, but hate to tell you this. This body of ours, until it's transformed into his likeness, it's going to break. Well, I'm going through some stuff. I just don't know that God loves me anymore. Where's your faith? I'm not doing this at you. I'm just trying to challenge you this morning that there is a faith, there is a walk in the Lord that is bigger than all of your requests. Let's look at Abraham very quickly. By faith, Abraham, when called, obeyed and went. This is Hebrews 11, verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Lord, I'll be glad to go wherever you want me to go. Just tell me. Lord says, just start moving. Once again, Lord, I'll be glad to go wherever you want me to go. Just tell me where we're going to land. The Lord just says, start moving. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. A few more facts, please. Because see, I need to decide whether or not I want to go to that place. I would like to consult the travel logs and get a hold of some, you know, go on the internet. Abraham said that, you know. Let me just go on the internet and check out that place that you want me to go to and see if I really want to be there. I'll go wherever you want me to go, Lord, but I want to be there. I want to. God didn't tell him where. God didn't tell him what he would face when he got there. And by the way, if you look at this, and I don't have time to really explore this morning, but if you look at this, he no more than got there, wandered about the land for a while, living in tents. Something was wrong with that. Obviously, they lived in a house where they used to live. Because they wouldn't have put that in there, that he lived in tents, if he always lived in tents. Are you with me? So in other words, he lived in a house until God told him to get on the road. And so he got on the road and he lived in a tent and he's moving all over Canaan. Until a great famine came in the land. That's what it says. And so he went down to Egypt. You see, the kind of faith that changes things, the kind of faith that moves mountains, the kind of faith that the Lord is looking for when it comes, is the kind of faith that when you go into the land where God wanted you to go, and it happens that in that time that there's a famine in that land, that you don't give up and go back home to your family. Do you know how many missionaries go to the field and only make it for one term or less? Because the romance is gone. You know? It would be cool to live in a foreign country is gone. And they're down to the reality. Famine comes in the land where they have to spend 2 and 3 days to get a post office box. And people there don't like them sometimes. Abram obeyed when he was called, and he went. There was obedience in faith. I'd like for you to say that this morning just so that those who are napping around you will be wakened. Would you say obedience in faith? There's obedience in faith. God will not give you everything you need to know to be fully satisfied within you. Why do so few people give messages in tongues and interpretation or words of prophecy or words of exhortation within the body of Christ? You say, well, you know, there's just so few people that do that. Yeah, you know why? Because the Lord doesn't tell you everything you're going to say when you start. He just gives you the beginning. And many of us, we want to go, well, but where are we going from there? Sure, God, I'd be glad to speak. I'd be glad to say whatever you want me to say. I'd be glad to give an exhortation to the body of Christ. But Lord, tell me everything we're going to say. And the Lord says, just believe. Abraham obeyed and went. Secondly, by faith, Abraham made his home in a foreign country. Sacrifice of faith. Say that with me. Sacrifice in faith. Come on. Sacrifice in faith. There is sacrifice. There's obedience in faith, and there is sacrifice in faith. It's not just going, yes, Lord, I believe. You're cool. As long as you do everything I ask. There's sacrifice in faith. He said, but if God loves me, would he call me to sacrifice? Well, he did Abram. And Abram believed, and God credited to him as righteousness because he was willing to sacrifice for his faith. Lord, I believe in you, and I am willing to do on less, to take less, to get less of what I want so that you can have your way. Don't raise your hands on this, but I want to ask you a question. Are you willing this morning to go to the hospital if the Lord needs you there to speak to somebody? You say, well, now what are we talking about here? Are we talking about me going to visit? I think I could probably work that in. No, I'm calling for you to be inpatient. Well, Pastor, now, are you saying that God would bring something on me and you know, cause me to have to go into the hospital? I don't know. Maybe. Are you willing to go if that's where he wants you to go? Maybe he's going to put you 24 hours a day next to somebody in a hospital room that he has ordained that you would speak faith into their life. How can you even think such a thing? There's sacrifice in faith. Man, it's quiet in it. You're either asleep or something. It's true. I've seen it more than one time. See, there's power. There's power released. We can talk about faith. We can say, yes, I believe in Jesus. And really all that it means to us is, I believe that he has forgiven me of my sins. And that's cool. And sometimes when I pray to him, he does what I ask. And that's the sum total of what some folks consider to be belief. There's more than that in faith. There's obedience in faith. To go where you don't know where you're going. To sacrifice when you get there. Boy, my time's going so fast. I grew up with one understanding of what God was going to do in my life, and then there was real life. I grew up in a church that was over 2,000 in attendance all through my growing years, and You know, I was on the platform singing and doing everything. Preached the first time when I was 8 years old in kids' revival. And actually, there were more kids there than what there are in adults in this sanctuary right now. And, you know, I grew up under this. And I grew up kind of with these promises that I was going to move in and be in ministry in that church. And, you know, in my mind's eye, I could see myself as the pastor of that church one day. And that was what was pressing in me. And I went to Bible school with that thought in mind and everything, and it came, you know, came back and worked in the church and all of that. That's what I saw. And then things happened in our church. They made a gigantic move and over 1,000 people left, and you know, the church changed in its complexion while I was at Bible school. And my senior year, I came home thinking, you know, still, this is all going to work. I'm going to get to move into some kind of a position there in the church, and you know, it's all going to unfold. And you know, I went to Bible school and got my degree and everything, and church couldn't hire anybody, and I wasn't on the list. And it's like, oh my goodness, now what? Well, maybe there's another great church that the Lord has for me, because I grew up in great churches and I had great expectations of what God was going to do. And I get a phone call from the district superintendent of Kentucky. And he said, you know, I was given your name. He said, we have a church called Clifton Heights in Louisville, on the north side of Louisville. And a lady by the name of Sister Bunch started that church, and she had it for many years, but Sister Bunch passed away, and all the people scattered. And so there are no people. What we have is a little white frame building in up on the hill in the north side of Louisville, and I was wondering if you would come and consider opening that up. No, you got lots of energy and things getting right out of Bible school. What will it pay? Well, we can't pay you anything. Is there a parsonage? No, there's no parsonage. Well, how would we get there? Well, you would need to get here yourself. What we will do for you is we will let you and your family, you and your brand new child, and your wife, we'll let you live on the campgrounds in one of the dormitories until you can find your work and everything like that. But we'd love for you to take advantage of this opportunity. Huh? Faith is sacrifice. Faith is obedience. I'm not preaching anything this morning to you that I haven't found out firsthand. I can tell it to you out of the life of Abraham, or I can tell you out of my own life. But let me tell you, when you get a hold of faith, over the course of 9 months that I had that little church open, we only got up to about 32. That was the highest we ever got. But we saw about 6 individuals give their heart to Christ. One of them was a grandson who came because he was in trouble and stayed with his mother across the street from the little white frame church building. And she compelled him to come over. And he came over for several weeks. And he sat there, and finally one Sunday morning he came forward and he gave his heart to Jesus. After 9 months, because I was actually working and doing carpentry work on the campgrounds and working for the district office, doing carpentry work, as well as working overnight cleaning at Kmart. So I was busy. But working with the district office, we came to the conclusion we needed to just shut it down, then sell the building and try again at another point in another place. Some could look at that and say, well, you know, that was a whole failure. That was 9 months out of your life, and that was a total failure. No, because the next spot that the Lord wanted us to go, He was preparing during that period of time, and 6 individuals came to know Jesus as their Savior. Will the Son of Man find faith on earth when He comes? You know, my mom and dad, they were discouraged. They were feeling that my discouragement may overcome me in the work of the Lord. You know, they were checking up on me to say, well, you know, how do you feel about this? Are you discouraged? Because not only did you not come to our home's church, but, you know, the Lord puts you into a little work that ultimately 9 months later you had to close and sell the building. There could be some discouragement arise in that. I said, no, because he called me. So it's not what's happening right here, it's what's he going to do next. I'm not in any way, shape, or form patting myself on the back, because I have to tell you, this was a journey. This was a work in my own life to enable me to do and to be what God wanted me to be. That's why I stand and sing to you this morning, it is well with my soul. There's constant challenges just like those. They shadow out different, but they're just like those. Some of you are going through some stuff. Let it strengthen your faith, not weaken your faith. May your resolve become more firm and more intent. I know whom I have believed. Paul wrote those words when he was in prison, chained between guards. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. By faith, Abram was enabled to become a father at 90 years old. The Hebrews writer says it was counted unto him as righteousness because he believed that God could do it. By faith, Abraham was still living by faith when he died. He did not see the promises of God unfold that God had promised him. But he was still holding on to those promises when he died. Some of us have got God on a time clock. You do it now or I won't believe in you anymore. Will the Lord find faith on earth when he comes? Not a game, but faith. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, trusted God. God said to him in that beautiful son that was born to he and Sarah in their late 90s, take that son of yours and take him up on Mount Moriah and offer him to me as a sacrifice. And Abraham went and got the flint knife, put the wood on his son and said, come on, we're going to the mountain. And the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter says, because he knew that God had the power to raise the dead. How many of you will admit this with me this morning? I said with me this morning that this man had some kind of faith. All things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. Not in putting God through a performance, but in knowing that God is God and that we are not. And that Jesus is Savior and Master and Healer, but we are not. And placing our lives and our circumstances and our needs and those that of people that we love and are concerned about at his feet, and then trusting him. You see, that's what trust is. When difficulty comes, when tests comes, when trials come, and hear me this morning, as surely as you're sitting here comfortably on these padded pews, trials of faith will come. James said, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Hear me today. When trials and testings come into our lives, and they come to all of us, you're either going to get bitter or you're going to get better. If your faith is real, it will become more intense. I don't know what God's doing, but I know God. I don't know how this is going to come out. I don't know how I'm going to come through it, but I know I'm going to come through it, and I know that God is going to be glorified in the midst, because I'm going to make sure that he's glorified in the midst. Trials and testings are coming. In this world, you will have tribulation. Whee! Aren't we having fun? We might as well acknowledge it. I mean, to sit in here and for me to, you know, rockaby you and tell you everything's going to be perfect. You just trust in Jesus. Everything's going to be perfect. And that would be me lying through my teeth. You will have tribulation. You will have trials. You will have difficulties. But will the Lord find faith in you when He comes? That's really the answer. That's really the thing that we need to grasp today. Be a miracle in the last days. And by the way, if you don't realize, these are the last days. They started when Jesus ascended into heaven. So I know these are the last days. He said in the last days, men will love pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And will the Son of Man find faith on earth when He comes? I can't speak to whether He's going to find it in your life or not. I can only speak to this one right here. When Jesus comes, or when I go, I want Him to find faith. I won't have all the answers any place and any time in my life. I can't give you all the answers. But what if? Why? Don't know. Can't tell you that. But I give you Jesus. He's the peace that passes all understanding. He's the joy unspeakable and full of glory. He's the companion that will stick right with you, closer than a brother, if you'll only believe. All things are possible to him who believes. What does God want to do with us? I believe that there are giant slayers in here. I believe that there are great deliverers in here. I believe that there are individuals who are going to give out of the resources that God has put into their life, and they're going to change other people's circumstances over the course of this year. And I believe that there are men and women who are going to be challenged to have faith. Impossible, life-changing, God-believing faith. I wish I had a tangible this morning to challenge you to do like we did last week. I do have one. Live for Jesus.